Morning. Let's see everyone out. We ready for another great day in the Lord's house. Excited about this time of year. I do have some prayer requests, actually, remember this morning. Bill Roper passed away, and his wife, Joanne, is not doing good either. I texted Penny this morning, and she didn't get really any updates. She said that they've got a big mess with it all, so I know it's... I think she was actually at the ER when she got the call that her husband had passed away, so they're having a tough time. Remember them. Remember all the ones that's still affected from the virus stuff. I think Kim is quarantined, Kim and Louise this morning, so I guess they got 10 or 14 days, whatever it is now. Kim's sister that lives with Louise tested positive, so they have got them quarantined. So remember her and them. Continue to remember Amber's mother. She is better, getting better. Still in the hospital, but getting better. And I'm sure there's many more that I'm leaving out. Don't mean to. The guy who contacted our cancer ministry the other day, Pat, had told us Wednesday that he wasn't doing good. Have you heard any more?
He had his first chemo Friday.
Continue to remember him. He had, those of y'all don't know, right after we had our service here, the next Monday, I think it was, or Tuesday or something, Pat got contacted by someone who gave him our number. So good to see that people's using the service. I decided that this year has been so crazy, I'm going to went ahead with No Shave November and speed it up. We may not have November. We never know. I try to grow a beard once a year to see how gray it is. And that's how I judge should I stay at a church or go, by how gray the beard gets. If there's a lot of gray in there, you ever notice the presidents, once they become president, their hair turns solid gray? But kind of the same thing. Not joking, we are looking forward to the fall season. We'll start tonight, and we're worried about the rain, but now we've got a new obstacle to overcome. Chicken poop. We plan to play volleyball and have service outside, and if y'all can stand it, I can. It's been all week where I work. They've been coming by, so... hold your nose or wear your mask. You're supposed to wear a mask anyway. Wear your mask and we'll go forward. We'll start that at 5 o'clock. We'll have a time of Bible, try not to preach, try to teach, Bible time. Then we'll have a time of eating. Then we'll have a time of fellowship, of volleyball, of whatever game you want to play. And as far as what time to quit, we'll see how it goes. But we're going to start at 5, so remember that. Hadn't really thought of a catchy name for it because every time we do something, it gets canceled. So this year, so let's just try to be here tonight at 5 and we'll get going. Do we have any other prayer requests this morning before we get started?
My daddy, he's having some more heart issues.
Remember him.
Janelle and Kim.
Remember them. You remember Stephanie, she got to work today and work tomorrow, then drive down to Macon. Spend a night and then take a test Tuesday morning so she can become the RN she's been to school for after trying to get her stuff straightened out through the state of Georgia so long. Do we have any others? No others? We'll go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day you've given us. We thank you for the gift of life. We thank you for the church you've allowed us to come worship in this morning and the privilege it is to get to come and worship freely and to give our allegiance unto you. God, we ask you to send your spirit among us that we may feel you so real. Is it just so thick, as the word says, it's just like a cloud. Lord, we ask you to touch the ones that will sing this morning. God, we ask you to, as it comes preaching hour, that you give me the words to preach. I pray that you open the hearts of your people. I know I can speak a million words, but nothing matters till you speak. God, I ask you to speak to us this morning. Lord, I ask you to be with all those that have lost loved ones, the Roper family, Penny and them. God, I ask you to comfort them. I ask you to be with Joanne as she's going through this tough time. Continue to be with Amber's mother and be with Kim and Louise and Janelle and Kenny. God, all of them that's hurting this morning, that's in need of your touch. I ask you to touch them in a mighty way. God, be with us, and we give you the honor and glory. It's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
chance to sing one this morning.
Amen.
You know, like I say, that virus around, nobody get to sing, so looking forward to doing some more singing soon. But I hope y'all like this, and it's been a while since I sung this one in the church, so if I mess up, don't worry about that. Y'all just listen to the words.
enjoyed that song. What a blessing it is to know that I was put in the will of that one who died for all mankind. And it's more than all mankind, it's personal. And that's the great thing about the Lord is it's a love, or his words, a love letter to us from him. And there's no special, no matter what money we have or title we hold, we all have the same thing. That's man, we ought to shout this morning. If you got your Bibles, turn over to John chapter 12. John chapter 12, read verses 1 through 8. Very, very familiar story. But I was thinking this weekend as I was thinking on this, is I don't remember ever preaching on this, as great a story as it is. And as much as if I have, I've forgotten it, but that's possible too. But it's the story of Mary anointing the feet of Jesus with expensive oil. And the title of the message today is Waste or Worship. Waste or Worship. I don't have to tell y'all that we're at a time of church history, if you've ever, most of you haven't, but if you've ever studied, Derek has for sure, church history, you'll understand that there's been different dispensations of time throughout the church. And today we're at a time of course, there's only one time that goes through, but we're at a time where it seems to think, or the thinking is, that worshiping the Lord is a waste. And I understand that today, and it's maybe bad timing, but I don't believe God knows he put this on my heart, and so I don't believe it is bad timing, but you may think it is. But I understand we're in the middle of a pandemic, understand the nervousness behind it, understand all this, but as I'm out and about, and as I'm going to ball games, and as I'm going to restaurants, I don't see much change there. But where I do see change is not just here, but in all churches, of talking to our director of missions and those who pastor around, people hasn't come back yet. And it tends to be a consensus that maybe what we've done as a church is maybe going by the wayside a little bit. Maybe it's been a waste anyway. I hope this message today touches you a little bit and helps clear this up some. In John chapter number 12, verse number 1 through 8, listen as I read this. Listen very closely. It's a great story. It says, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. And there they made him a supper. And Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him? Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not because he cared, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. He had the bag and bare what was therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this? For the poor always you have with you, but me you have not always. Father, we thank you today for this word. God, I pray you open our hearts and minds as we preach this. And God, may you touch someone through this morning. And these blessings we'll ask in Jesus' name, amen. You got to understand, first of all, the situation going on here is the Lord was on his way to what would he knew was his crucifixion. The rest of them didn't understand. They had came to a house of Simon the leper. Now, you read through the Gospels, you'll find there's three different accounts of this, and some people think four, but the fourth one in Luke is a different instance. It is of Mary Magdalene that does almost the same thing in Luke, but this is Mary of Bethany. This is Mary, Lazarus' sister, that did this for the Lord here. And you got to understand that this was a very expensive ointment that she used. I studied a little bit about that and said it had been imported from India. So it cost a lot of money. It cost as much as a year's wage. And you've been thinking about that. And I know that when the world looks at us as taking Sundays and giving our allegiance to the Lord, they begin to think of what a waste. It's been said of Chick-fil-A, how many more billions a year Chick-fil-A could make if they only opened on Sunday. But Chick-fil-A understands it's more of worship than it is waste. And I hope we understand that today. But first of all, I want you to look at the position of Mary. Look at the position of Mary. John chapter 12, verse 3. We'll read this one right here again. Verse number 3. It says, then took Mary a pound of ointment, a spikenard, very costly, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Number one, you understand that she was around the Lord. She was friends with him. The Lord had come to this house of Simon the leper, and there his friends was, and how important it is to be a friend of the Lord. And the Bible tells us that it's very important. In James chapter 2, verse 23, it says, in the scripture fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. So the only way that we are made righteous is through faith, and through this we become a friend of God. And my friend this morning, that's the most important friend you can have. All your other friends can leave you. All your other friends can be done with you. They can leave you in hard times, and they can even leave you in good times. But this is a friend that sticks closest unto a brother, and his name is Jesus. We'll be excited about that this morning. I remember as I've had the girls say sometimes, well, who was your friends coming up? And I say, well, you wouldn't understand that because on June 27th, 1996, when I was saved, I said 97 last week, I messed up. But in 96, when I was saved, I lost a bunch of friends that day. I gained many more, but I lost a bunch of the ones I had. And I thought I had lost a bunch then. But then come December the 14th, 2008, when I announced my call to preach, it was like I had the leprosy. Brother, they left. Nobody wants to be around that. Nobody wants to be around a preacher all the time. And I probably understand that a little bit. But listen, the friends is very important. And the Bible tells us that no greater love can a man have than he would give his life for his friends. And these friends that he was in this house with, he was about to die for them. But not only them, he was about to die for you and for me, and he was going to lay his life down. And here this little woman had enough of a God about her to understand what was taking place. And while all the others were serving, she saw a need to worship the Lord. By the way, in this story, you'll see the three phases of worship. You'll see three phases. There's many more phases, but you'll see three phases of worship in this story. If you look at that verse there, you'll see that as they was in this house and they made a supper, it says that Martha served. It says Martha served, and we know that Mary anointed the feet of Jesus, and Lazarus was a witness. You read on down that same chapter of John. It says that many people came not only to see Jesus, but to see Lazarus, who had been raised from the dead. And what a witness Lazarus had for the Lord. My friend, me and you today, we fit in one of those three. I promise you, either we are serving, either we are anointing the Lord, or blessing Him, or we are a witness for Him. And maybe all three of them. But here, each one of them was just as important as the other. But Mary's position, did you notice that it says, now the two other accounts say that she anointed the head of Jesus, but the account in John says that she anointed his feet. She was at the very feet of Jesus, my friend. And to be at the feet of somebody, you know what you got to be? You got to be close to them, don't you? You got to be in communion with them. You got to be in step with them. You got to understand them. And here she was at the very feet of the Lord and Savior. Can you today, with all honesty, tell me that you are living at the feet of Jesus? I couldn't tell you that. And probably neither can you. But Martha was at the feet of the Lord, and she was committed to Him. And by the way, as you study this, and I found this interesting, that as He was crucified and as He was resurrected there, of all the other women there that worshipped Him, you know this Mary of Bethany did not go to that tomb that morning. You know why? Because she knew that it was going to be empty. She was that close with the Lord that she knew that His word was going to come to pass. She understood that He was getting ready to die. And this is why she anointed Him with this great ointment. And by the way, you can make this to think that Mary and Martha and Lazarus was poor, but they wasn't. They was from a wealthy family. But still, this ointment was be exactly like you taking off of work for 1 year and worshiping the Lord. Now, if I did that, y'all would say, boy, he's lost his mind. If anybody else did that, you would say, well, they have lost their mind. How are they going to eat? How are they going to pay the bills? How in the world will they get through? But Jesus was letting them understand that this was not a waste that Mary was betraying upon Him. This was worship. But today we count many things as waste. She was at His feet. An example of true worship brings humility. You see, in that day, the Jewish women kept their hair up. And being able to take her hair and wipe the feet of Jesus, she had to let her hair down. Now, this is something that was only done for reasons with a husband or for reasons of humility. But this was a showing that she was fully committed to something. In the public, women just did not let their hair down. But here she did, and she did it because she was showing the world and those in that house that she was fully committed unto Jesus. She didn't care what anybody thought about her. She didn't care what anybody said about her. She was fully committed to Him, and she was at the very feet of the Lord. How many of us today could say that same thing? That we can let our spiritual hair down. Don't care what anybody say, we're going to worship the Lord. We're going to serve Him no matter what anybody says. Listen, it would be easy to do what Martha was doing. And although I admire her for working the way she worked, you find Martha anywhere in the Scripture, and she was always serving. And I admire that, and we need that. But listen, that would be easy for me to do. The thing that's hard to do is the things that people don't understand, which is being at the feet of the Lord and pouring a whole year's wages worth of ointment on His feet and taking your hair and your tears and wiping the feet of Him. That's what would be tough for me. But for Mary, she was committed. So we see the position of Mary. But I want you to look at this. I mentioned it a lot, but I want you to look at it again. The price of the ointment. The price of the ointment. You're going to see something here. The price of it. It was very costly, the Scripture said. I done told you it would have cost a year's wage for a normal worker. What would we think? We spent a whole year's wages on something for the Lord. Boy, we'd be talked about forever, wouldn't we? The example of true worship never considers the cost. Of true worship of the Lord, you never consider what it's going to cost you. And I know this is hard to do because we're living at a time also in history where there's more money floating around, but it also it's hard to get a hold of. And I know all this stuff, but listen, true worship, we should not consider the cost. We should give all we got. I don't know that this was all she had because as I was studying, it said that she was probably from a wealthy family, so she may have had more. So I don't know that she gave all she had, but I do know that this is taught in the Scripture that we should give everything we have unto the Lord. We should give all of our energy, all of our time, all of our resources, we should give it unto Him. She gave the best she had at that time. I don't believe there was anything in the house that she had more precious than this ointment. She had it and she could have done a lot of things with it. Judas Iscariot says she should have took this ointment and sold it and gave it unto the poor. And the Bible says he didn't care about the poor. He was a treasurer. Boy, of all people to put over the treasure of the house, they put old Judas Iscariot. That's hard to believe, ain't it? The old thief himself was put over the money. But that's all he cared about was the cost of this. You see, if we'll be honest with ourselves, inside of every one of us is a little bit of Judas. You say, wait a minute now. We're all here this morning. Yeah, we're all here. But there's many of us that may be sitting on these pews and maybe listening to me on Facebook or YouTube that's there. And they say, boy, I really think. Now, they may not come out and say it with their mouth, but in their spirit and in their heart, they are saying this thing of worshiping the Lord is really a waste. A waste. I don't see anything good coming out of it, they'll say. He's been saying he'll come back for 2,000 years. I ain't seen it happen yet, they'll say. They'll say, I don't know if there's any need, or maybe we're not even doing things right. I've heard it said so many times, I'm about ready to throw up. Well, in the early church, well, they just went to houses and had church. Well, honey, that's a lie. You go test your word of God out, and you begin studying, you'll find out that they was in the temple. Every chance they got, they was in the temple, and they was together. Yes, it was in people's houses, but being in a church house worshiping is biblical, and if you'll come on Wednesday night, I'll show you that. We taught about it Wednesday night. The best she had. What she had at that time best was her ointment. What do you have right now that is your best that you could give the Lord? I thought of a few things and just put them down, but there's many. One is time. Time is the most precious thing you have. You know why? Because you ain't making any more of it. You can look around at us, and I joked a little bit about my beard, but I remember when I grew it out last year, Rudy, it was gray, but it wasn't quite so gray. I remember when I get up out of the bed last year, it was kind of hard some mornings, but lately it's been a little tough every morning. I wish Jody was here. Jody posted and said, you ever start to get out of the bed and you're like an old Buick, you got to sit and warm up a minute before you get going. I'm having to do that now. I didn't think that would ever be possible. I've been guilty of saying, even last year, that I still feel like I'm 16. I ain't said that this year. But listen, time. Oh, it marches on. And it stays, and it's precious. We cannot get it back. Me and Stephanie was by ourselves last night, which is don't happen a lot, but we was talking about time. We was talking about Amberly and things she used to say when she was a little girl. And she said, you want that back? I said, heck no. I like being able to sit down and eat. I like being able to do that without little ones running around. Those things, I said, yeah, I said, there'll be a day when we get to worship some other, or not worship, but we'll get to spoil some other kind of kids. But right now, I kind of enjoy where we're at. And she said, you wouldn't go back if you could. I said, no, I wouldn't. I don't know, but time, it marches on. Boy, it seems like she was just born. Then I was thinking, we was talking last night, and I said, they almost been married 2 years. Almost 2 years the time has went. And I don't know how somebody Pat's age feels about time. She probably feels like she's about out. But listen, time goes quick. And I don't care if you live to be 100 years old, time goes by in a hurry. If you ask somebody who is 100 years old something they regret, and they'll say, I wish I'd spent more time with this. I wish I'd spent more time with that. And we're so guilty when we're young that we'll go to school and we'll say, I wish it was already Friday. And we're not careful, we'll go to work at 8 o'clock or not, whatever time you go, and you'll say, I wish it was 5 o'clock. We wish our time away, and time is the most precious thing we have, and we need to do something with that time. What do you do with it? Well, you either worship the Lord with it or you waste it. You see, everything besides worshiping Him is a waste. Why do I say that? Because everything is going to pass away. These things that you spend your time on, your hobby, that you love fishing, you love playing golf, you love whatever it may be, or anything outside of worshiping Him is a waste because it's going to pass away. Your worship of Him is going to last forever, and it's just like a sweet smell to His nostrils, and it's the only thing that's going to last. So is our worship a waste? Also, we have talents. Do you waste your talent? Some people's talent is to preach. Some people's to sing. Some people's to give. Some people's to pray. Some people's to do just simply minister to people and be there for them. Such as this cancer ministry thing. Is that your talent? Is that the best you have? If it's the best you have, then brother, guess what? It's enough. He may not be as shown brightly as Billy Graham or any of this stuff. And every time I get down and out and having a pity party, and Stephanie won't come anyway, and she won't let anybody else come to my pity parties, she'll say this. Does anybody know the name of Billy Graham's mother? A few do. Does anybody know the name of Billy Graham's grandmother? Most people don't. Does anybody know the name of Paul's mother? Some do not. Does anybody know the name of Peter's mother? Probably not. Listen, we don't know what God's going to use and who God's going to use, but all we can do is the best we have. Your best may be raising that child who will be the parent to who may be the greatest evangelist or the greatest missionary that has ever been in the world. And you don't know, and you feel like that your life's been a waste, but you poured everything into raising that child in a godly manner. Then, my friend, that is your ointment, and that is the best you have. That talent you have of singing. You say, well, it ain't much to anybody. Hey, if it blesses one soul and that's the best you have, and you know without a shadow of a doubt that that's your ointment and that's your alabaster box, then, honey, you better use it because that's what you have to worship the Lord. That was given to you. I never understand how somebody can sit down and write a song and put music to it. I don't have a musical bone in my body. I love to hear it, but I can't understand it. If that's your gift, use it. Giving may be your gift. You may have the ability to give above anybody else. Then do it. That's the best you have, do it. In her worship, she spared nothing. She used a costly ointment. She humbled herself in letting her hair down. She did it in front of everybody. She wiped his feet. Listen, feet in that day is just like they are today. They was disgusting to people. They didn't have shoes as we have. They was dirty. They was dusty all the time. They was probably filthy from all kind of things that would have been on the ground in that day. And it wasn't something good you wanted to do was to wash someone's feet. But listen, it showed humility. She did the best she had. Gave all she had. She understood that who they didn't care who was in her presence. She was in the presence of the Lord. And that's all that mattered. This is probably one of the greatest things that I put down, and not me. God had to do this because I didn't realize I remember putting this down. When we discover who Jesus is, we will have no problem worshiping. Mary had discovered who this was. You see, all the rest of them thought it was a waste because they didn't know who he was. If all the rest of them had knew it was the Savior of the world, they would have understood whose feet she was washing. They didn't understand this. Mary did. Mary had got who Jesus was. Have you got in your life today, has it really clicked with you who this is? Why you're here today? You're not here just to be seen of men. You're not here just to fill a pew. You are here today to worship a risen Savior who is alive forevermore. And I want you to understand something. If you don't, when you leave here, coming to the house of God and worshiping God and giving everything you have to Him, never will be, never has been a waste. It is worship. The Bible says those that worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. Lastly, we see the praise of the Lord on Mary. Mary didn't care about this praise. She didn't care about it one bit. Listen to Matthew 26, verse 8 through 13. But when His disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, "To what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor." When Jesus understood it, He said unto them, "Why trouble you the woman? She hath wrought a good work upon me. For you have the poor always with you, but me you have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you," listen to this, "wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, thou shalt also this, that this woman hath done, be told for her a memorial." He said, and I had never saw this, that when preachers stand and give the gospel of Him, they should mention Mary. Is that not amazing? Not Mary His mother, not Mary Magdalene, Mary of Bethany, because she done this great work of worship upon the Lord. And He says when preachers stand, or when teachers stand and give the gospel, she should not be forgotten. She should be mentioned. So this morning, I want to mention Mary to you. This great woman who saw that it wasn't a waste. And because she didn't see that, she got a praise from the King of Kings. And the Lord of Lords said, when you stand and preach, every single preacher who will ever stand at some point, he better mention Mary of Bethany for what she did. Mary's act of worship and her attitude is what Jesus wanted us to see. It wasn't that Mary's name was to be great. It was Mary's worship and the attitude in Mary's worship. You see, we are all guilty of, we get up in the mornings on Sunday morning, and whoever sung that song, it was a rock and roll song, I think, years ago, that said, "Easy like a Sunday morning," has never had small kids and been involved in church. It's not easy like a Sunday morning. Who's ever preached has never had, couldn't wrote that song. Sunday mornings are not easy. Everything comes up in the world. You'll get out there, and boy, it'll be a beautiful day. We walked outside today, and Ashton said it feels a little bit like fall, this wind blowing. And then before long, you'll go down the road, and you'll see somebody hooked to their boat, or you'll see somebody with their golf clubs, or somebody doing something. It's a beautiful day. And before long, that old serpent puts in your mind, what you're about to do is a waste. And many times we enter the house of God to worship Him with a wrong attitude, wishing we were somewhere else. Mary that day did not wish she was anywhere else. She was proud to be at the feet of Jesus, where we should be. Many people in church even wonder if their worship is a waste. Mary, what an example. What an example she is to us. Matthew chapter 25, verse 21 tells us that one day we could have the same thing said about us. Listen to this. His Lord said unto him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." One day, if we have did anywhere close to what Mary has, we will have praise upon us. Man may never hear it in this world. He won't, because this will be over there. But what a joy it will be, knowing that Jesus, the very Son of God, the very Savior of the world, He says, "Good job. Good job." Listen, it wasn't because of the expensive ointment. It wasn't because she even put her hair down. It was because that she understood that it wasn't a waste. It was worship. Do you understand that today? Most of us don't. Even me. Even any other pastor don't understand of what worship is to God. He desires it. He must have it. If he don't, he said the rocks will cry out. You must worship him. In closing, I don't usually write nothing at the end, but I did. I was feeling like typing yesterday, and I don't ever want to type. Listen to this for just a minute. If you get mad at me, I still love you. And I'll come eat with you tonight down here, eat another hot dog. I'll sit with you. We're at a time in history when it's hard to get people into churches. And I thought about this yesterday. I thought, well, why do you want people to come to church? I'm going to admit something to you. A lot of it is I don't want to feel like a failure. And that's the reason a lot of other pastors want to also. Because whatever we do, we want to feel like we have been successful at it. If you don't, then you don't have any pride, and you might as well go home anyway. You want to, if you're coaching football, you want your team to be good. If you're working on a machine, you want your machine to work good. Whatever it is, you should want some pride in it. And I think this is behind a lot of our selfish desires as pastors even. Maybe we as pastors too have selfish motives. We like to think we're successful in our positions. And the world measures this differently than the Lord. The truth is, most people see the time in God's house as a waste and not a privilege. There may come a day in our country that this is not a privilege. It could be one vote away in November. It's that close. This is a privilege. This time that we have to come is not a waste. How do I know this? Because I say it all the time. We have the time and the energy to do what's important. I have seen this even in my own life before I was preaching and pastoring, and I see it because I'm as honest as you are. I can pick out other people's faults easier than I can find mine. And brother, I got a whole dump truck full of them. I got a bunch I could find. But I have noticed something about myself and about others. I've seen people drag into work throwing up. I've seen them drag into work with headaches. I've seen them drag into work with broke legs, with all kind of stuff. But I myself have been guilty before of hunting reasons I shouldn't go to church today. You know what I was really saying? What I had on my mind to do was more important than worshiping the Lord. Because worshiping him was going to be a waste. And what I wanted to do was going to be worth something. We have the time and energy for what's important to us. Acts chapter 2, I cannot get this off my mind this time of the year, of whatever we're in. It seems like everything I think about is Acts chapter 2. The first church was in the temple every chance they got, and around God's people, and the church flourished. They was adding thousands. You know why? Because the people saw that it wasn't a waste. It was worship. And everything I've said will not change you one bit. This time I spent preaching will not make one difference in your life. What's got to happen is God has got to speak to your heart and let you understand something, that worshiping him is not a waste. Every pastor in this world that's worth his salt wants his church full. If he don't, he shouldn't be doing it. But I wonder today, how many of us even, as pastors, as preachers, as teachers, as deacons, feel like that this is really important? That it's really important that we have our kids here. Like I said, I understand we're in a pandemic. I know that. And I understand that's why a lot of churches is missing a lot of people. And I have said through this, if you feel comfortable at home, then by all means stay. But you know what? What I hope wouldn't happen, happened. The numbers, not just ours, but everybody's I've talked to, the views on YouTube and Facebook have continued to spiral. Down, 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 down. Human nature has taken place. They say it takes 21 days to create a habit. We've been given a great, great excuse to fulfill our selfish desires and our thinking that worshiping God is a waste. But as you go out to your ball games, they're having to only limit a certain number of tickets because people would fill up the stadium at Alabama. They would fill up the stadium at Auburn. Those same people who would do that say, well, it's a waste and too much of a risk to come to the house of God. Can you worship the Lord at home? You most certainly can. But everywhere I look in Scripture, there was power when God's people was together in the temple or in the sanctuary. There was power. There should be a desire for a Christian to be in the house of God. There should be a desire to be around God's people. I understand we're sick and tired. I understand those things. But you have enough energy for what's important. We all do. I'm as guilty as anybody. As I was preparing for this, I thought, oh me, what a hypocrite. To stand and do this, what a hypocrite you are. Because I fail. And I've even guilty of thinking, Lord, am I wasting my time? Am I wasting my time? Boy, I could get me a regular job and do something, go back to school, and I could probably make a lot of money, and I could do all this, and when I get 65 or 70, am I going to look back and say, look at the years I've wasted? No. It's worship. As you stand this morning, as Pat comes, I pray that God ignites a new fire in you to want to worship Him. It's only come from seeing who He is and seeing what He holds. So easy right now to think, well, this thing's a waste. This thing's a waste. Churches are at about 50% capacity of where they're normally at. We're a little above, but most places around 50%. Again, I understand it. I know it's a pandemic, but I don't understand we can do everything else. But when it comes time to come worship, we put the brakes on some. You see, it wasn't just until this come up. This has been going on for years in our nation. Church decline in the Southern Baptist especially has been way down. Millennial age people didn't see the need for worship. The Generation Z or whatever they are, seeing less of a need. Ain't just a pandemic. It's an attitude. It's a teaching that we have done in our homes. Not just them, me also. Have we taught that worshiping God is important and is not a waste? You see, teaching somebody is different than telling somebody. You can tell somebody something, don't hold much weight. But when you teach somebody something, you go before them and you set an example. One of the greatest teachers I ever had in school was Travis Nelson. Wasn't the smartest one, but he was the best one. He was from Wee Dowie. I don't know if y'all know him. But he had a saying, learn by doing. Before he would let you wire up a switch, he made you grab 110. He'd be fired today. You had to grab 110 and get shot before he'd let you wire a switch up. But you know what he taught you through that? Hook it up right. Don't touch it. Learn by doing. That's how we teach our children. That's how we teach these next generations how important it is to worship God, and it's not a waste. We show them in our lives, parents, grandparents, that it's important. You see, they know. Most of the time, I was raised up, I was preaching from 2008 on. I've heard other preachers say his kids had a drug problem. They was drugged every church in the county. We should have them in the house of God. We should lead by example. They should see us praying. They should see us reading our word. They should see us living it on a daily basis. And we are all guilty. But we get to go free. Dave's song this morning, because Jesus paid it all. He knows all of your failures. Before he went to the cross to save you, he knew everything that was bad about you, everything that was weak about you, and how lax we would be in 2020. And he still said, I'll give it all, that they can go free. Can you worship him this morning? Can you really worship him? There may be somebody here that can't worship him because they don't know him. Mary had to know Jesus before she could worship him. Then when she knew him and understood who he was, true worship flowed out of her like a river. What about you this morning? Do you know him? Do you know who he is? Amen. You may be seated. The way of announcements this morning is